week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It is good to come in your homes with another message of something to believe in. That's a definite statement that you must find something to believe in. That something is truly Jesus Christ. He said, if I be for you, there's no power that will ever stand against you. I do trust today that we have a rich blessing coming in your homes by the means of radio on 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. We come on with the same theme. So we're hoping today and praying that some soul will be saved today. Well, let's get right into our broadcast and do this song for you. And I hope you enjoy this one.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, how his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He clutched me to victory. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard of the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
He bought me and he sought me until he found me, and then he cleansed me by his redeeming blood. Thank God for that song of the church. I remember one time somebody said, well, during Christmas, said, I hope how soon we get back to singing the songs of the church. Well, I like the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come, harp the herald, the angels sing. Those are church songs too, so we magnify the Lord in those. Well, I do hope that you're well today. If you're not, you're in our prayers. Martha is not doing that good, but she's doing Well, she's holding her own, so you continue to pray for her and continue to pray for me. And I haven't heard from Doris Neely. I'm wondering how Doris is doing. Doris, hope you're not down and out, and I hope that you're doing well. And then also remembering Betty Jo and Ernest Atkins. I appreciate hearing from them this month, and I appreciate Louise and James and how faithful they are. And then let's remember Barry and Patty Harper, and let's don't forget Ed and Mary Jo Ballingy over there in Peterstown. So let's go back and do this song just especially for you.
Many years ago in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I would hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows sink and climb. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. You know, some of the fondest memories of my childhood were woven around supper time, when my mother used to call from the back steps of the old home place, come on home, son, at supper time. The time has woven the realization of truth for me, and it's even more thrilling than that when it is when the Lord himself shall call from the portals of glory, come on home, son. Supper time. All God's children shall be gathered around the throne of grace for the greatest supper time of them all. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows sink and climb. Come home. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Well, you don't want to miss that great supper at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm intending to be there, and Jesus Christ will be the host, and I'm thanking God that he's given me the privilege, and what a privilege it is to know that my soul has been saved. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I played that song last week that thank God that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Maker. So I'm glad for that today. Let's go now listen to this recitation. I want to remember all of my friends in this one. I hope you enjoy this one also. This one says, me, Pap, and Mother.
When I was just a little tyke, I was set at the table between my pap and my mother. Pap, well, he would feed me on one side and on the other my mother. Oh, we were old chums back then, Pap, me and mother. On Sunday, we would take a walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pap, he always carried his old cane, while mother and I would pick at the daisies in the lane. Sometime my older sister was along, and other times it was just Pap, me and mother. Pap, it seemed, as we would walk along, he would have his head down. He was thinking and couldn't hear me or mother. Well, the old cowbell would be clinging, and the long lines in his face seemed to tell that he was worried about one thing or another. We did not understand, me, sis, nor mother. I grew up and I went away, I left the old farm, just thinking about that day still brings a choke to me. Now it would have been all right living with my older brother, but I just never could forget leaving the old farm, Pap and my mother. I went back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd soon be going where none of us could follow. The long streaks of his face showed just how he loved each other, and we would have to talk real fast to hold back the tears, for his eyes were saying just how much he hated to leave me, sis, and mother. Well, Pap went on, but mother's still living, but soon she will too, I reckon. She tells me sometime she just can't seem to see Pap as he's standing there with his hand beckoning. Life ain't long, and I'll go myself one day or another, but then we'll all be back together, me, Pap, and mother. Well, the pretty hill, the new roads to walk, and just to sit down at the river of life and never more to worry. We'll hear the great choirs of heaven singing, me, Pap, and mother. And Gab, well, we'll play, and Gabriel's trumpet will sound, the beautiful birds will sing to one another, and there we will never more part, no more, me, Pap, sis, and mother.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was Dan Arbogast playing in the background. I always remember him, and Dan Arbogast was a great friend of mine, and he wrote that song for me. And he wanted me to put music with it, but I never could, but I use it on a lot of my recitations. I hope you like my recitations. And don't forget the website. I want to bring you up to date on that. Brother Darrell Olson and Brother Olson over in Princeton Hospital, they take care of my website. And all you got to do is type in, and it's very simple, just type in stbi.org. That's stbi.org. There you can get our music, our camp meeting messages, our songs, and pictures of the churches. I'm going to get some more pictures of the Pillar of Truth where I'm pastoring now, and Red Sulphur where I'm also pastoring part-time. So I'm going to get a picture of those people and those churches and get them in there. So he says he'll put them in the website also. So pull us up on stbi.org. If you have an internet, any kind of an internet, a telephone or anything, you can pull those songs up, okay? Let's go right back before I do the message today and do one more song for you, and I'll be right back with the message. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storms and through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. When the darkness, Lord, appears, and when the night draws near, and when the day, Lord, it seems to be past and gone, and at the river, Lord, I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Yes, sir, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Well, let's go to the sermon now, and this one is called Little by Little.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I would lift for a thought today victory in Jesus found in Joshua 1, verse 1 through verse 18. You see, the book of Joshua opens with the people of God encamped along about the river Jordan. They're looking toward the land that God had promised to their father Abraham. It was a land said to be flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of abundance, but it was there for the taking. But to fully appreciate the spiritual significance of where the Israelites are going, we must need understand where they've been. You see, Satan holds that key upon every man's life. Our lives are bound in bondage, just as the children of Israel was bound in bondage in Egypt. In Exodus 3, 7 and 10, this is a beautiful picture of God sending His Son to pay the price of redemption for fallen man and to purchase us out of the slave market of sin. Two books later, you will find in Numbers and see the children of Israel in the wilderness. There they have spent or will spend 40 years in the wilderness, which was located between Egypt and Canaan. The wilderness, they thought, was much better than Canaan. Canaan represents God's best for His children. The wilderness wandering of the children of Israel represents the lives of a great number of people who have been born again. They've escaped the taskmaster. They've escaped the bondage of sin. But they've settled for something less than what God intended for them to have. They settle for only life's mediocrity. You see, we now must be careful. We must not let ourselves get sidetracked by the hymnology of the many gospel songs that have been sung. We illustrate the River Jordan as though we're crossing over death. But the crossing of Jordan into Canaan as a believer is not an entrance into heaven, but one of the biggest drawbacks to that interpretation of the book of Joshua is that when the children of Israel entered Canaan, they were faced with many enemies. They must fight many battles. They must face many difficulties. And to understand the Bible correctly, I'll have to know that my enemy that I must face, that I must fight again, is not an enemy that I will face in heaven. Because when I get to heaven, all my battles will be over. God's best for us on this side of eternity. That's what God is talking about. You see, I need God's help today. I need God's help every second. I need God's help in my life every hour. If I'm going to make it with God, I'm going to have to take some of the crises that come my way. Then we have to notice more easily and understand the presence of the enemy and the need of fighting in order to have rightly to belong as a child of God. The enemy, the world, or my life is full of much opposition. So there's three questions that I must face. Are you in the wilderness of defeat? Or are you in the land of victory? Is your life a constant struggle against the power of darkness? Remember, Egypt is a life without Christ. Remember, Canaan is God's best for His children. The promise of victory is supplied to us in verse 1 and 4. God's word to Joshua was, "Go over Jordan, for it's open unto us the possibility of a life on a higher plane." And many Christians today are living on the lower planes than what God really anticipated. It's yours, but you must possess it. And you see, we have got to possess what God has already given. Victory in our lives as a child of God is not something that we have to wait for. It's ours now. It's there. Notice the promise in Romans 8 and 37. Notice the warning in Joshua 1 and 3. Every place that the soles of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Even as the Lord was speaking to Joshua, He assures him that victory was his now. The only thing that keeps us from having victory now is us. We have not realized that the battle is not ours, it belongs to God, the people to whom it is available. Notice that He said, "Thou and all thy people." The promise of victory is not only for leaders, but it's also for laymen alike. Being a leader does not mean that a person has risen from the need of victory. But by the same token, being a layman does not mean that the person has to live below victory. The place to which we applicate everything and every place, the whole land was given to the people. But they could not possess the portion that they claimed. And they could only claim as much as they were willing to fight for. In applying this to our life, we must understand that all of our time,
All of our effort, all of our conversation, everything that we are must pinpoint toward having victory in Jesus. The chain of Satan must be broken. The chain of Satan's bondage was broken by victory at Calvary. We must experience victory in our life to decree that we are willing to put forth an effort to fight for what is really ours. You see, the possession is ours. Every place, he said, where you set your foot is going to belong to you. Before the children of Israel could possess their possession, the Jordan had to be crossed. Cities had to be captured. Battles had to be fought. And the Canaanites had to be conquered. But here's the key. They didn't have to accomplish these things on their own strength. God was working mightily on their behalf. Thank God that we do not have to fight our battles against the world. We do not have to fight our battles against the flesh. We do not have to fight our battles against the devil. My battle is to believe that God is fighting for me. God is more willing to work mightily on my behalf. Notice here in Ephesians 1, 15 through 20, and also verse 19 through 20, the Bible said the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us so that we might live victoriously over sin. Ephesians 3 and 20 marks these five words: able, abundantly, above, and ask, and according. You see, God is able. God is omnipotent. The Lord is able to give us victory. What we are not able to do for ourselves, the Lord is able to do through His power. Let's face it. We are not able to change our lives. We are already done. We have the abundance. We have the above. We have the ask. What God is saying here through Paul is that God is able to do the super abundantly above and beyond what we ask. And then some on even on top of that. Think of one spiritual victory that you would like to experience the most. We should not be guilty of limiting God just because we have failed in our own effort to gain the victory of our lives. You see, according to the Scripture, how does God do all of this? How does He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the only way that God can work in your life, is through and by the Holy Spirit. And to what degree can the Holy Spirit be effective in my life depends upon my willingness to yield to Him in my daily experience. God was willing to show Himself strong on the behalf of the Israelites as long as they were willing to yield to His authority and to conduct themselves according to God's orders and God's commandments. God will not bless our disobedience. We have no right to expect God to give us victory if we are not willing to submit the Lord.
Many times in my childhood, when I've traveled so far, by nightfall, just how weary I had grown. Father's arms would slip around me, and he'd gently say, "My child, we are going home. Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing the twilight, it is fading. This day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick the farther I roam. Oh, but the Father step of the way. And now I am going
neighbors, I've enjoyed being with you this Sunday morning, telling you about Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. And he can do abundantly. He said, I will give you abundant life. I will give you a life that's worth living. A lot of people are living a dead life. They're just not enjoying life at all. And life's going right on by you. One of these days, you'll come to the end of the road, and you'll look up, and there you are. Without God. Lost without God. Have you ever thought about that word lost? I got lost one time. I was in Peter's Mountain and I got lost. I was deer hunting and I realized the fear that come to my life when I got lost. I began to scream. I began to holler out, help, help, help. And I knew I was lost, and I just dropped the deer. I said, I don't care about this deer. I'm concerned about getting out of these woods. And about that time, a man hollered and said, my buddy, he said, the road's only about 15 feet above you. And boy, was I relieved. And listen, the road is about 15 feet above you. See, God give you two ways. He give you a narrow way and a wide way. And the Bible said the narrow road leads to heaven, but the broad road, many are traveling upon that road. You don't want to go that road. You don't want to get to the end of your life and end up with nothing. You got to make the decision right now. Father, I call upon you. I come to the long altar of God. I plead the blood for my neighbors, my friends, and my sick people. Lord, I got so many people in my listening audience. I don't know who in all is listening, but you know every heart. You know every mind. You know the hair that's on our head. You have them numbered, Lord, and you know the one that's pleading the blood right now, and I'm pleading the blood for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, I could stand some help on the broadcast. It's been kind of slow, but anyhow, I understand it's a bad time. We're living in a bad time. But if you can at all, help me. I appreciate all the people who are helping me to maintain the support of this broadcast. Something to Believe On has been on here since, I think it's about 86 or 87, and I'd hate to go off. I don't want to even think about it. I don't want to even think about having to leave the air, but who knows? Who knows what lies ahead? I may not even be here next week. I may be in heaven. But anyhow, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Help me finance if you can. Don't forget the internet, stbi.org. Pull it up. Get to singing, get sermons, and whatever you want to hear is there on our internet. Thank you, and goodbye. Be good, and may God bless you, me, you and yours. I'm sorry, you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.